Mothers, don't you wish it was that easy? Changing your battery? When Cindy showed me that the video that she had received from her daughter, I just thought about how mothers have to play so many roles. Teachers, disciplinarians, right? Cleaning ladies. Mothers are gardeners, mowers of lawns. Most mothers understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows. Don't you think so? Yeah. Mothers are nurses, doctors, psychologists, counselors, chauffeurs, coaches. Mothers are developers of personality, molders of vocabularies, shapers of attitudes. Mothers are the soft voices that say, I love you. All these things and so much more, huh? Mothers can be, for us, a link to God, an impression, truly, of God's love for their children. It was a four-year-old, you know, we saw this video. I was thinking of it, that with their sibling, another child 6 years old, they on Mother's Day presented their mom with a house plant, and they had used their own money to go and buy it. And, you know, mom was thrilled. There was no doubt about it. The older one said, though, with a sad face, he said, you know, we really, when we went to the flower store, wanted this really nice bouquet that we had seen there. It was so pretty, and it was just what I know you needed, but it was too much money. But, mom, it had just the right message for you on the ribbon. It said, rest in peace. We thought it would be just perfect since you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. And yeah. How many remember now? Some of you older ones might remember a lady named Irma Bombeck. You ever hear Irma Bombeck? She used to have a column, you know, and she was just a delightful lady that wrote many wise things. And so I want to just take the time to read to you one of them today. She speaks about God creating mothers, the act of God creating mothers. She says that on the day that God created mothers, he had worked already long overtime. And the angel that was with him at his side said, Lord, you're sure spending a lot of time on this one. And the Lord turned to the angel and said, have you read the specs on this one? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not made of plastic. She has to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She has to have a kiss that will heal everything, from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. She'll be called upon to do things that would require anyone to have six pairs of hands. Six pairs of hands, the angel said. That's impossible. The Lord said, hey, it's not the six pair of hands that really bother me. It's the three pair of eyes that she's going to need. She's supposed to have one pair of eyes that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things that she is not supposed to see, but she must see. And then she has one pair right in front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. That's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and then resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very much like me. Very much like me. I've already come up with a model who can feed a family of six with one pound of hamburger, who can persuade even a nine-year-old to take a shower. Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a bit more closely and said, oh, she's too soft. Oh, but she's tough, said the Lord. You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason and compromise and persuade. Then the angel reached over and touched the mother's cheek and noticed. She said, the angel said, this one has a leak. And the Lord said, that's not a leak. That's a tear. What's the tear for? Said the angel. Well, the Lord said, It's for joy and for sadness, for sorrow and disappointment, for pride. "You're a genius," asked the angel, said the angel. And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put that tear there." "Well, who did?" said the angel. "Her children," the Lord said, "who always are in her heart and who will rise and call her blessed." Amen? Good word. Good word. I thought about that six-hand business and realized that moms only do have two. Hey, you know what? If evolution were true, how come moms only have two pairs of two hands? Come on now, right? I'd like to just read one passage of Scripture this morning, and as I mentioned, I'm not going to speak long, but I just want to just provide a word for especially you moms here today. And it's a passage of Scripture that you may have read before, and if they want to bring it up on the screen, it's Matthew chapter 20. As I mentioned, it's kind of interesting. It's like mom's vision has to be 2020. Matthew 20:20 will be our verse today. And let's just start there and just see what it says. As the Lord was teaching his disciples, there were women that traveled with them. Did you know that? There were women that traveled with the disciples. Actually, the mothers of the disciples were traveling with Jesus and his group. And so we know in this passage of Scripture, in chapter 20 and verse 20, it says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him," of the Lord. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." And when the other disciples, heard this, they became indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them all together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. For just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." I want to point out just a few things in this passage of the believable words of Jesus as we continue on that thought. First, I want you to notice something. The name of the mother in this story is never given. You see, the name of the mother is never given. Sure, culturally at the time, children were called by their father's name, you know, their first name, the sons of Zebedee. We know that practice actually led to having the father's last name be the family or surname of everyone in the household. But this nameless mother is a good representation of all the nameless mothers throughout the ages who have had so much influence on their children. So many people, famous people, have said when they were asked that, "I owe it all to my mother. I owe it all to her." But this mother did not seek glory for herself. I want you to notice her posture as she came to Jesus, kneeling down. This was a sign of humility, a submission of respect for the Lord. She came asking, but not for herself. She brought her two sons to Jesus. Now that'll preach in itself, right? She brought her two sons to Jesus. Her request is stated as a favor. She asked a favor of Jesus for her two sons. How many mothers have ever asked favors of the Lord for their children? Yeah. "Lord, make them pick up their clothes before I kill them." It was an elementary science class that had been studying magnets, right? Elementary school. And how metal objects are attracted to them. So at the end of that teaching, the teacher said on the exam this question: "There are six letters that starts with an M. It picks up things. What am I?" Half the children wrote mothers. Half the children wrote mothers as the answer to that. You know, not all mothers are the same, though. You know, you don't always come in with the same personalities, right? I was reading a really cool story about a young mother who attended a very large church in the South. I was thinking of Alyssa, actually, as I was reading this. Now, this young mother had a baby boy, and when she did return to church after having the baby and the couple of weeks that she spent at home, she says that for the first 3 months, you know, as I went back to church, I would sit in the church toward the back of the sanctuary at the end of an aisle because, you know, I didn't want to disrupt anything. If he got fussy or hungry, I just, you know, excused myself. I could easily slip out without distracting people. But then last month, she said, she swallowed really hard and she began taking him to the church nursery during worship. And she said, it was tough on me to do that. She said, no, at our church, we do it differently than how I did in the church that I was raised. In the church that I grew up in, there was, you know, a need that would come up in the nursery, and a number would be projected on the screen. And that number, you know, if you dropped your child off, then you would know that you were needed in the nursery. She said, but that's not how they do it at this new big church. She said, you know what they do? They text the mom. The mom gives a self, they text the mom, and they send a text message to the mom. You know, I was reading it, I thought to myself, now, what would I do, you know, if I was not a pastor, but I was sitting in church and got a text message that said, your child is crying and won't stop? I'd probably take my phone and I'd send back a message that said, yeah, I know, I hate it when he does that. You know? Yeah. And they would text back, you know, well, he's still crying. And I'd text back, I said, why do you think I put him in the nursery? But moms, you know, moms are different. Moms, though, I did notice that it gets easier, you know. First baby, you know, it may take 3 months before you feel comfortable checking him into the nursery. Second baby, maybe half the time. Third baby, you're calling me from the labor and delivery room, make sure we have nursery workers that next Sunday, right? You know, it does get easier. And they're old and they grow so fast, you know. And the next thing you know, you're taking them to church camp. And you drop them off on Monday and you get the call. We got that call. Mom, it's Tuesday and I don't feel good. And the camp counselor says that the problem with my stomach is homesickness. Can you come and pick me up? And mom says, you know what? You're 11 years old, you really need to stay there, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. We'll be there on Saturday, unless something better comes up. Mothers are different, right? You know, but mothers do ask favors of the Lord. And this is what this mother asked of Jesus. You know, she said, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right and one at your left as you enter your kingdom. See, it's clear that she believed that Jesus was a king who would rule, but she really thought it was going to be an earthly kingdom and it was going to be soon. And she wanted her sons to occupy the two highest positions in Jesus' kingdom. That was what signified by, you know, being at Jesus' right hand and left hand. You've heard that saying, he's my right-hand man. Well, that's where that came from, you know. So that's what was being asked here. But I want you to look at the text just for a second. When Jesus replied, here's what he said in verse 22, Doug, 20:22. He said, you don't know what you're asking. But Jesus said that to them. To whom was Jesus speaking when he answered? To the mother or to the sons? To the sons. You see, Jesus knew what was going on here. You know, as God, when Jesus was in heaven before he came to earth as a man, he heard the countless prayers of many mothers over the ages. Do you ever think about that? That Jesus was pre-existent with God from the beginning. He knew what was in a mother's heart, and he knew how to interpret their prayers and their requests. He was able to see their intentions because he saw their hearts, and he knows a mother's heart. You see, that's a good word for you mothers. God knows your heart. He put that heart in you. And when we read that introduction, it's true. God really did allow mothers to model the heart that he has for his children, right? That's what's happening in this story. I want you to see that. You know, that's what's happening as she's going and talking to Jesus about these jobs that her sons wanted. Her sons, by the way, put her up to this. Yeah. The mother was willing, though, to go humbly and ask on their behalf. And Jesus, when he responded, did not address the mother with his reply. He knew she was just doing what mothers do, wanting their best for their children. Mothers, God doesn't fault you when you want your best for your children. But you know what? He knows what is that best. That's the thing. And sometimes the thing a mother asks for, while seemingly, you know, best in their eyes, is not always what God knows is best for their children. But he sees the heart. He knows the intentions. That's what Jesus did here. And so rather than saying anything critical to the mother, he just addressed the two directly. Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink? Now, that cup in Old Testament was a metaphor for suffering, and that's what Jesus was saying. Do you realize what I have to go through to enter that kingdom, to receive that kingdom? And can you drink that same kind of cup? They said we can, but they had no idea. But you remember who we're talking about here? James and John. These are the James and John that you know. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 2, this is the James that was beheaded, killed by the sword of Herod. And this is the John that was arrested, beaten, boiled in oil, yet survived, and then finally actually exiled to a deserted island, Patmos. Jesus knew what they were going to go through for their faith, but they weren't ready to hear that. So Jesus actually turned to tell them the more important thing for them right now, the more important thing for us right now, mothers and every one of us. Jesus called them together and said about the Gentiles, you know, the Lord of the Gentiles, the people in authority. He said, no. He said, that's not what life is about. He said, I'll tell you what, this is how God sees things. Whoever wants to become great among you must become a servant. Think about that. He said, this is what I've come to do. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Servanthood. With that thought, let's just return now and conclude with the mother in this story. She was being led by her heart, right? She was. Did she make a mistake? What do you think? Did she make a mistake? You know, mothers aren't perfect. There's no mother that's perfect. Man, especially, you know, when you first have kids, these kids don't come with, like, good instruction manuals. See, that's why they would give them to the mothers anyway, because guys would never read it anyway if they did come with one. But, you know, sometimes, you know, mothers really do get overwhelmed. Really do. I mean, it's not easy being a mom. It really isn't. It's challenging. There was a woman speaker. Her name was Angela Thomas. I don't know if any of you women ever heard Angela Thomas. She said, mothering requires everything, but eventually everything given plus little replenished equals being desperately empty. She said, eventually everything given plus little replenished equals desperately empty. Yeah. See, mothers need replenished. Mothers need fed. Mothers need to receive, not just give. I did a wedding yesterday, and I like to talk to folks in premarital counseling about the love bank. And what the love bank is that, you know, in a marriage, you have to learn to make deposits in each other's love bank. You know, because eventually you're going to have to make withdrawals. And if you make a withdrawal, you better have enough money in there to cover the check. You know what I mean, guys? Huh? So those deposits are the times when you invest into your wife, into your mother. These are the things that we have to learn to do, right? Continuously, no matter how old we get. Our mothers need to know, to receive from us love. And ultimately, of course, they need to receive God's love. The mother in this story was continuing in a role that many mothers play well, service, giving of herself to the service of her sons and daughters, always wanting their best. That's what drives a mom's heart. But you know, how much more powerful a mother can be if they are appreciated, if they are thanked, if they are invested in, like you all I know will do today. I know that some, as Cindy was saying, it's kind of a bittersweet experience because, you know, we get older and we lose our moms, and that's a very hard thing. It really is. It's a challenge, you know, because that is like a hole missing in our lives. And we're thankful for the memories that they have given us, right? We're thankful. No, not all moms were perfect, you know. But just like God, we need to give them grace. Amen? Just like God, we need to give them grace of being able to just give them to the Lord with all the best intentions we have. So as we close this morning, I just ask that you would join me. Join me in just a corporate prayer that God today would fill every mother's heart with that sense of unconditional love that He has for them, and that He would give us the ability to also give to our mothers in a way that's meaningful. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this very special day, and we thank you for every mother in this place. And today we pray for every mother, Lord, that you indeed would fill their heart, that you, O God, would meet their needs, and that you, O God, would use us also in just showing that love and appreciation today. Lord, we just ask your blessing. And we pray, Father, that by your Spirit, Lord, you would not only fill every mother in this place, but that you would lead them, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, and that you, O God, would by your Spirit be able to guide them in the way that they should guide all of us. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Hey, don't forget, you probably have a couple of guys stationed out there to remind you, but take one of those beautiful white carnations on your way out. All you ladies. God bless you.